Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The world, and yes, even the church, do not readily remember the prophet Oded, nor do they remember Azariah, Berechiah, Jezekiah, and Amasa. Our Old Testament lesson shows us what mercy looks like. It looks like pity, like charity upon those who don't deserve a bit of it. It looks like loving and caring for your enemy when they are struck low. It means to remember the mercies shown to you and apply that mercy to others. That indeed, as you petitioned God to forgive you your sins because he is his boundless mercy, and you prayed to him to be gracious and merciful to you, a poor, miserable sinner, that as God has shown you mercy, you would show it to others. It means to not glory in the downfall of others, lest the same downfall comes to you. That the sacred scriptures memorialize these men and the very names of their fathers who taught them to be merciful. The world does remember the story of the Good Samaritan. We have laws about it. But it may not understand the reason or the motivation for the mercy and the charity and the helping those in need, but it does know what it is to try to help someone who's with supposed good intentions. The church knows even more. It knows better, for the church knows what Christ here teaches, both as the foundation to our acts of mercy, our charity towards others, and the church knows he who is charity, he who is mercy incarnate. He whose mercy caused such love as to die on behalf of the whole world, in order that its sins, its unmerciful acts, its lack of love and lack of charity would not be repaid in full as it deserves, but be graciously forgiven by a gracious and merciful God to those who believe. Jesus taught those disciples which returned from being sent out, the 72 or the 70 as you read it. He taught them about the mystery of God revealing the truth of the word to those who were not worldly wise and understanding. That he did not reveal them to the wise and understanding of this world, but instead that God the Father chose to reveal these truths to little children. Blessed are the eyes indeed that saw Christ incarnate and revealing the Father, and the ears which heard him teaching the truth of the word. The prophets and kings that had come before, they all look forward to what happened squarely in our gospel lesson today. They knew that Christ, the Christ, would come. And they knew that the Christ would come and deliver his people, revealing wisdom from above and putting those of this world to shame for their lack of heavenly knowledge. They knew it and looked forward to that day. And to prove it, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, records this lawyer seeking to trap Jesus in his teaching, in his words. He wants to know the way of the law, the way of love. He doesn't know the depths of the love of God, nor even the depths of the love that God commands in the law, for he thinks he can justify himself by such works. But no, the righteousness that avails before God comes only by faith in the promise, faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, the same promise given to Abraham as our epistle lesson highlights. The faith in Christ, his works of love, his keeping, fulfilling of the commandments, his suffering all things, even death and condemnation on our behalf. That the lawyer did not know this, the lawyer did not look forward to seeing or hearing these things, and he proved it by trying to justify himself by the works of the law. Now Jesus teaches him that his pursuit is folly by using the parable of the Good Samaritan. He teaches him what true love is, and it is a love that the lawyer has just failed in, because the lawyer just tried to seek to trap Jesus in his words, showing no love. But the incarnate Word cannot be trapped in a lie, because the incarnate Word, Christ Jesus our Lord, is truth. The giver of the law itself knows the law and its ways. The fulfiller of the law, that is Jesus, knows the law and the righteousness that comes from it, and just how far any human effort will fall short of fulfilling that law. No, Jesus corrects the misunderstanding with a teaching about charity, about mercy. And in it we learn much, how much Christ has shown us mercy. The Samaritan is indeed rightly sometimes likened to be Jesus. And this is true. Christ is the one who finds us. Christ is the one who binds up wounds. Christ is the one who pays the price for our stay in the church where we recover and so forth. That Christ does the work. And then Christ bids us to be merciful as well. The lawyer asks, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus' answer leads to a better question: who can you be a neighbor to? And it all starts in your homes, in your houses, husbands and wives, children and parents, siblings, half-siblings, step-siblings, step-parents, stepchildren, step-parents, grandparents, grandchildren, whatever makeup you can imagine. Every imaginable household living situation presents you with people to whom you can be a neighbor to, right there in your own house. To them, you are given as a neighbor by our God. Our God, He is merciful over all and has already shown you great mercy, the kind of mercy you pleaded to for your forgiveness this day. That to those people closest to you, to them you can show mercy. Because you have received mercy in order to show mercy. That have you life? Do you have some kind of semblance of health? If so, then God has shown you mercy because you didn't deserve it. Do you have possessions? Again, that's mercy. Have you sustenance and a place to live? That is mercy. Have you the means to do even some of the things that you enjoy? That is mercy. Are you baptized? That is mercy. That God has poured out so much mercy on you in your life to this day that it would require days and weeks and indeed a whole lifetime to go through all of the ways that you have not received what you deserved, but instead have you been cared for by your God. And the chief way is, of course, the salvation that has been given to you by this merciful God, the salvation that is given to you by salvation by grace through faith in Christ. That you have had the Father revealed to you by the Son. This means that mercy ought to fill your homes. That when your husband or your wife has really messed it up or fallen upon a hardship that just can plain happen in this world, be merciful. Help. Support, care. Have compassion, for you do not even begin to know the mercies that God has shown to you already. That love covers a multitude of sins, and if our homes cannot be the places of love and mercy and forgiveness, then there is no Christian future in those homes, and there will be no Christian future for those who will come out from those homes. No, be merciful, as your Father in heaven is merciful. Mercies that have been shown to you in full measure in Christ. But you're charged to show mercy because you are Christians doesn't stop just in your home. Mercy comes to this place, to this congregation. Mercy means taking care of one another, looking after one another, noting who's here and who isn't, and seeking out to help those who maybe couldn't make it. It means repaying not what you think someone deserves, but paying forward what God has already paid unto you. It means doing this with your words before church, during coffee time, during Bible study time, and every other time. It means doing so with your works of love for each other. It means doing so, yes, even with your offerings, which are used to support your pastors as well as your fellow members to the various things the congregation does. It means taking the time to care for each other, to speak to each other, to listen to each other, to offer counsel out of the compassion that can only come from those who are the children of God, those who are born of God. And then there are the other people that you can be a neighbor to as well. That this town is in no shortage of people that need help. That this is a world of trouble and a world of tears, and God would have you help those people living in this world as well. That again, without consideration of what the person deserves, not what they did to get into that bad situation, that these are people indeed that God has placed right in front of you, right around you, sometimes literally putting them right in front of you during your daily conduct of this life that God has given you. But not only does mercy happen by not giving what you think someone deserves, but helping them instead, it also means not expecting anything in return, especially from that other person and even from the world. The reward is the work itself. And our God has promised to reward works done by faith, sometimes, yes, in this life, but also in heaven. You see, this is something that we should be mindful of, that God loves good works. That they don't get you into heaven, but they are the fruit of the faith in Jesus. And faith in Jesus is what gets you into heaven, because such faith apprehends the blessings and benefits of Christ's work for your salvation, the forgiveness of sins, life, and eternal salvation, which the Word of God promises. But from such faith, from that foundation of faith in Christ Jesus, good works, charitable works, merciful works are to follow as the supernatural fruit brought to life by the Holy Spirit through you. That those works, Jesus says they will have a reward, but it will most likely come to you in eternity. And for the Christian, that is sufficient, for the Lord cannot lie. Oded, the prophet, reminded a victorious army of mercy. And the leaders of the land agreed and took their charitable and merciful stand. That God was glorified and the wrath of God was averted. That God was merciful. That Jesus was merciful to the disciples and even to the lawyer. Each of them deserved things that Christ refused to give them. But instead he mercifully taught them. Your sins against God have earned things that you don't even know much about. And the reason is that God has been merciful to you. He has sent you His only begotten Son that you would have forgiveness, even of things you can't recall. That He has given you His Holy Spirit that you could walk in faith and show mercy to others and be a neighbor to those who are closest to you, and to those who God just puts right in front of you. That the mercy of our God is inexhaustible. And that's the mercy you cling to. And your life is proof that God is merciful. Your salvation is proof that God is merciful. Use that life that God has given you, a life full of God's mercy, and bear fruit in keeping with your salvation. The people around you, both in your homes and in other places, they need it even today and every day. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.